الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر فلله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا أما بعد قال جل وعلا في كلام المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد My dear brothers and sisters and elders, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As we are gathered here today to listen to the khutbah of Eid al-Adha, it would do us well to remind ourselves of the sacrifice and the spirit of the sacrifice that we are about to make. Today, the best ibadah that you can possibly do is the udhiyah, is the qurbani. There is nothing that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more today than to sacrifice an animal in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, we are called Muslims because our father Ibrahim alayhi salam named us Muslims by his statement and by his actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this statement, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وجاهدوا في الله حق جهاده هو اجتباكم وما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج ملة أبيكم إبراهيم هو سماكم المسلمين من قبل وفي هذا ليكون الرسول شهيدا عليكم وتكونوا شهداء على الناس فأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واعتصموا بالله هو مولاكم فنعم المولى ونعم النصير In Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and strive hard in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you ought to strive. He has chosen you and has not laid upon you in religion any hardship. It is the religion of your father Ibrahim. It is he who has named you Muslims both before and in this Quran, that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam may be a witness over you and you be witnesses over mankind. So establish a salah, give zakat and hold fast to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. He is your mawla, and what an excellent mawla and what an excellent helper. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bore witness to the sincerity of the action of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he bore witness that he accepted this action, where he said, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَ وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ وَنَادَيْنَاهُ وَيَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينُ وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ In Surah Saffat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then when they had both submitted themselves, that is Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, then when they had both submitted themselves to the will of Allah, and he had laid him prostrate on his forehead, we called out to him, O Ibrahim, you have fulfilled the dream. Verily, thus do we reward the Muhsinun. Verily, that indeed was a great trial, and we ransomed him with a great sacrifice, and we left for him a good remembrance among the later generations. An action that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immortalized by making it a rukun of Hajj, and by making it something that even people who do not go for Hajj, like many of us here, who have not gone for Hajj this year, that we are required to do that action in commemoration of Ibrahim alayhi salam's action. My brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself and you that the meaning of being Muslim is to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question, without argument, without reservation, and without hesitation. To submit joyfully and eagerly. This is the symbol of our trust in Him. And that trust is what earns His pleasure and His help. And that is why the iconic symbol of Islam is the sajda. A state of total submission and helplessness. A symbol of total unhesitating obedience. A symbol of total trust and total faith. The life of Ibrahim alayhi salam is a symbol of all of these things. When, as a result of his opposition to idolatry, his people decided to kill him by burning him alive, they kindled and stoked a fire which was so huge that they couldn't go near it. So they decided to use a siege engine, a catapult, to throw him into the fire. They tied him up and put him in the bowl of the catapult. As people were gathering to watch the spectacle, Jibreel alayhi salam came to Ibrahim alayhi salam and asked him, and he said, "Ya Khalilullah, tell me, what can I do for you? How can I help you?" My brothers and sisters, I remind you that if someone living comes and asks you, "Can I help you?" it is not prohibited to ask for help. There is nothing wrong in telling him how they can help you. But there are darajat of people. There are darajat of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does Ibrahim alayhi salam say to Jibreel alayhi salam, who is asking him this question? He is about to be thrown into the fire to be burnt alive. And Jibreel alayhi salam is coming to him directly and saying, "Ya Khalilullah, tell me, what can I do for you? Tell me, how can I help you?" Ibrahim alayhi salam says, "Tell you? Ask you?" He said, "I don't ask anyone other than Allah." So Jibreel alayhi salam goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything without being told and without being informed. Jibreel alayhi salam goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, "Ya Jalla Jalaluhu, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Khalil is about to be burnt. Please tell me, what can I do? Please, how can we save him?" And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, "Go to him and tell him I sent you. You went earlier on your own." He said, "Tell him now that I sent you. And tell him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, what do you want?" Jibreel alayhi salam comes back and he says, "Ya Khalilullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me. And your Rabb wants to know, what do you want from him?" Ibrahim alayhi salam says, "My Rabb does not need to ask." This is the issue of tawakkul. He says, "My Rabb does not need to ask." This is the issue of ubudiyat. What do I want? I want whatever my Rabb wants. If my Rabb wants me to be burnt to a cinder, then that is what I want. If my Rabb wants me to be saved, then that is what I want. What do I want? Go and ask my Rabb. Don't ask me. Because whatever He wants is what I want. This is the symbol of ubudiyat. This is the symbol of khilafat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa." Allah said, "Verily, I am going to send on the earth a khalifa." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, "Inni ja'ilun fil ardi malik." He did not say, "I am going to send on the earth a king." Allah said, "I am going to send on the earth a khalifa." What is the difference between a vicegerent, between a viceroy and a king? A king makes the law. The viceroy implements the law. The three cardinal differences. A king makes the law. The viceroy implements the law. The king is not subject to his own law. A viceroy is subject to the law of the king. A king is not accountable. A viceroy is accountable. The king has a will. The will of the viceroy is the will of the king. The viceroy has no will, independent will of his own. What is the will? What is the will of the Khalifa? The will of the king. And who is the Malik? Who is the king? Ta'ala Allahul Malikul Haqq la ilaha illa huwa Rabbul Arshil Kareem. This is our Rabb. This is the one we worship. My brothers and sisters, what happened after this conversation? When the slave, when the Khalil refused to allow the makhluk, even if the makhluk is Jibreel Amin himself, when the Khalil refused to allow the makhluk to intervene between himself and his Rabb also removed all makhluk from between himself and his slave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then did not order Jibreel alayhi salam to do anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not order Mikail alayhi salam to send down rain to extinguish the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly addressed the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly spoke to the fire. Qulna ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ya nar, directly, kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that statement in his kalam in Surah Al-Anbiya. Allah said, we said, O fire, be coolness and a source of safety for Ibrahim alayhi salam. When the slave refused to allow any of the makhluk to intervene between himself and his Rabb also removed all makhluk from in between. And directly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nusrat came to Ibrahim alayhi salam. The reward of tawakkul is the nusrat of Allah, who is not subject to any of his own laws. Remember that tawakkul comes only and only from obedience. You cannot live a life of disobedience and expect your heart to be filled with the noor of tawakkul. That is not the way of the Anbiya. That is not the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us. That's not how it happens. Musa alayhi salam used to hurry, he used to run to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Musa alayhi salam, why do you run and come? Why did you hurry and come? And Musa alayhi salam's statement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved it in the Quran. Allah liked his reply so much that he preserved it in the Quran as a means of guidance for us and as a source of hidayah for us. Musa alayhi salam said, وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى. وَعَجِلْتُ, oh Allah, I hurried to you. وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ, oh Allah, I hurried to you. Rabbi, my Rabb, litarda, so that you would be pleased with me. He said, I came hurrying so that you would be pleased with me. My brothers and sisters, it's an issue of attitude. Please note, we are not talking about obedience and disobedience. We are talking about obedience itself. But how you obey? Not the sullen obedience of prisoners who obey out of fear of reprisal, but the eager obedience of the one who loves Allah and whose only purpose in life is to please Him, Jalla Jalalu. Not somebody who is coming reluctantly and lackadaisically and sauntering and loitering to the salah. Eventually he is praying. He is not leaving the salah. He is praying at the right time. But contrast that with someone who waits for the salah, who goes to the masjid early, who goes and sits in the masjid and he recites some Quran and he makes some zikr and he's waiting for the salah to begin. There's a difference between somebody who runs to obey and somebody who obeys eventually, but from the way, or from his whole manner, from his body language, you can sense reluctance, you can sense as if he's doing something under pressure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes those who obey Him because of their love for Him, because of their eagerness to obey Him. And it's in this context that we also see the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Taif, which demonstrates the same spirit. And where he said, O Allah, if you are pleased with me, then it doesn't matter what they say. And if you are not pleased with me, then I will continue to strive until you are pleased. Hatta tarda. Until you are pleased. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests. And He tests His anbiya more than anyone else. The test is always the same. How much and how well will you obey? Please note, the whole question of obedience, which reflects trust, comes when we don't see the benefit on obeying. When we don't see the logic or point of obeying, the one who still obeys, not because he understands the reason for obeying, but because for him, the reason is the order that comes from the one he loves. He's not obeying because he thinks the order is worth obeying. He's not obeying because he thinks the order is logical and sensible and so on and so forth. He's not obeying because he thinks that he will get some benefit from obeying. He is obeying for one reason only. Because of who gave the order. Because of who gave the order. There is a famous story of the slave of Mahmud al-Ghaznavi, Ayaz. I mentioned that in the further reminder today. To test Ayaz, because of all sorts of jealous complaints that used to come to Mahmud, Mahmud al-Ghaznavi gave Ayaz an extremely very valuable, very expensive goblet of crystal. And he gave these to other people also. He gave similar goblets to also other people, other of his courtiers. And then he suddenly gave an order and he said, drop it. Now some of them looked at Mahmud, some of them as if to say, well, are you sure you want me to drop this? Some people bent down and put it on the ground. But as soon as Mahmud said, drop it, there was a crash of broken glass. And people shocked, they looked and they found Ayaz without the bowl in his hand. And broken shards of glass and crystal on the floor. So Mahmud, pretending to be angry, Mahmud said to Ayaz, he said, what have you done? Don't you know the value of that thing? Ayaz said, my master, I know the value of that thing. But in my eyes, the value of your order is more. If this breaks, it's okay. But I will not break your hukum. You said, drop it, I drop it. This is the obedience of a human being to another human being. What must be the obedience of a human being to the one who created him and sustains him, and because of that hukum of that creator, he takes every breath. My brothers and sisters, the whole journey of Hajj is a reminder for us about obeying, not because it is convenient or pleasant or logical, but because we love Allah. And this is what He told us to do. We put on the ihram, which is neither graceful nor comfortable. We make sa'i commemorating what our mother Hajar alayhi salam did. She did it for a reason. For us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her action the reason. We stand in Arafah on the day of Hajj instead of being at the Kaaba. We pick up stones in Muzdalifah and throw them at the Jamarat in Mina. Not one of these rituals is either reasonable or logical. But then, love is neither reasonable nor logical. Love is to leave all reason and logic for the only one who is worthy of being loved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And that is why Allama Iqbal rahmatullahi alayhi said, Subh-e azal ye mujhse kaha Jibreel ne, jo aqal ka ghulam ho wa dil na kar qubool. Allama Iqbal said, on the morning of creation, Jibreel said to me, advised me and said, Do not accept a heart that is the slave of the mind. The spirit of Udhiya Qurbani is submission to the will of Allah. Submission when the very action of submission may well be painful to yourself. When submitting to the will of Allah may mean denying yourself something that you find pleasant. When the submission may seem to be a source of loss or even harmful to the one who looks at it with eyes blinded by the dunya. But to the one who sees with the eyes of taqwa, as Ismail alayhi salam did, he will see the blessing behind it. He will see the beauty of fulfillment of the purpose of our very existence in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu without question. To seek His pleasure above all else and to be prepared to sacrifice our dearest possessions, our actions and our desires for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the spirit of the Qurbani, about the spirit of the sacrifice, لَنْ يَلَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ كَذَلِكَ سَخَّرَهَ لَكُمْ لِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ خَوَّانٍ كَفُورٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is neither the meat nor the blood that reaches Allah, but it is taqwa from you that reaches Him. Thus we have made them subject to you, that you may magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His guidance to you. And give glad tidings, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the muhsineen. Truly Allah defends those who believe. Verily Allah does not like any treacherous ingrate. The purpose of Qurbani, my brothers and sisters, is to inculcate the spirit of submission, of sacrificing our personal desires to win the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become among those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Al-Muhsinun. It was the blessed sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he used to advise the women separately and especially on Eid day. In keeping with that sunnah, I would like to advise my sisters in Islam that the example of Hajar alayhi salam is an excellent example for them to emulate. Here was a woman who on the one hand was obedient enough to her husband to accept the fact that he was leaving her and her infant son alone in an uninhabited valley on the order of Allah. Then she had enough tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to know that if He ordered this, then He would take care of them. She allowed her husband to leave them and to go on his way, knowing that he was doing the work of Allah. How many of our sisters today are prepared to allow their husbands to leave their homes for even short periods to do the work of the deen of Allah? For the dunya, you gladly leave your husband for 11 months of the year for 35 years. But for the deen, you do it for the dunya because you see the value in it. Ask yourself, why is it that you don't see the value of it for deen? All these are issues of upbringing which we are taught and which we teach. And they reflect the relative importance of things to us in our own eyes. Then when her husband had left, Hajar alayhi salam did not sit idle. But she made effort to see how she could secure the safety of herself and her son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked that action of hers of running from Safa to Marwa and back to Safa so much that He made it a rukun of Hajj and Umrah. Only then did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send Jibreel alayhi salam to bring forth Zamzam for them. Then Hajar alayhi salam negotiated an agreement with the people of Jurhum that came there, ensuring that she and her son retained proprietary rights over Zamzam, which was the main resource at that place. This is a lesson that is worth learning in worldly wisdom and taking care of the affairs of this life in such a way that the family is looked after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put respect for Hajar alayhi salam in the hearts of the tribal leaders so that they honored and obeyed her. As Ismail alayhi salam grew up, his mother Hajar alayhi salam put the spirit of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love for his father in the heart of the little boy, such that when his father came, his father was not a stranger to him. The boy knew him, he loved him, and he awaited him. Then when his father Ibrahim Khalilullah related his dream to his son, the son immediately accepted the will of Allah without question. He immediately accepted the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question. My brothers and sisters, all this happened despite the fact that until that time, the father had not taken any direct part in the upbringing of the child. Ismail alayhi salam was the product of a single mother. But when the mother has iman and is connected to Allah, then Allah guides and protects and helps. It is not a question of how many parents, but what kind of parents. Society is neither corrupted nor improved by children. It is corrupted by the parents of those children, who then complain about the children, conveniently forgetting their own role in their upbringing. I remind you, please take the role of a parent seriously if you want your children to be a source of blessing to you and not children whose actions will kindle the fire in your grave. See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the result of the kind of upbringing that Hajra alayhi salam gave to her son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعُ السَّعْيَا قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرُ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. In Surah Safat, Allah described this conversation. And when he, the son, was old enough to walk with him, how old was he? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about a teenager? Is he talking about somebody in his 20s? You don't say about somebody in their 20s, you don't say about a teenager, he's old enough to walk. You say he's old enough to walk about someone who is so young that being old enough to walk is an event. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and when his son was old enough to walk with him, he said, Ibrahim alayhi salam said, oh my son, I have seen in a dream that I am slaughtering you. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. So look, what do you see? And he said, the reply, he said, oh my father, do that which you have been commanded. Inshallah, you shall find me of the sabirin. My brothers and sisters, please reflect. Especially my sisters, please reflect. What kind of conversation is that? What kind of conversation is that between a father who is over 80 years old and a son who is perhaps less than 10? The father tells his son about his dream where he saw himself slaughtering the boy. And then he asks, look, what do you see? Look inside your heart, what do you see? فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. I was looking up the translation of this to see how it is translated, and I found that, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless and forgive the translators, when we translate the Quran, we should not put our own limited understanding in that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. Look, what do you see? The translator writes, look, what do you think? Allah can say, what do you think, if He wants to say, what do you think? Allah did not say, what do you think? Allah said, مَاذَا تَرَى, what do you see? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing a level of spiritual development that you and I can only imagine. And maybe we can't even imagine that. Here is Ibrahim alayhi salam saying to his son, look inside your heart, what is there? I don't know if I request you to look inside your heart now and see what is there, how many of us can actually see something inside our hearts? Allah knows best. The father is saying to him, look, what do you see? My brothers and sisters, the father stayed away all those years. And then when he comes, he's talking about slaughtering. And he's not asking his son, what do you think? What is your opinion? He says, what do you see? When I thought about this, it blew me away. What must be the spiritual development of that child? that his father can confidently ask him this kind of question and expect a serious response. Who enabled that level of connection with Allah? Who enabled that level of tazkiyatun nafs where the child could answer, Ya abatif al ma'tumaru satajiduni insha'allahu minas sabirin. That was the work of the mother. Ismail alayhi salam and this whole story is not the work, is not a story of the tarbiyah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. It is the tarbiyah of the mother of the child. My sisters, your role as a mother is simply the most critically important role that you can ever have. And that is why Allah gave it to you and not to the man. Try to wrap your mind around this and give that role the importance it deserves. Motherhood is not about feeding the child's belly, but about feeding the child's soul. And for that, you must know how to cook the food of the soul. It won't simply happen because you are a woman. You have to work hard. You have to make the effort if you want a son or daughter who will not only be a credit to you, but a means of thawabul jariyah when you are gone. In plain language, it means to give them twice the time and half the money that you now give them. My sisters, I would like to remind myself and you that the nusrat of Allah, the help of Allah, comes only to those who choose to be obedient to Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for them from sources that they could not imagine. But all that is only for the muttaqoon, for the obedient, not for the fasiqoon, the rebellious. Selective obedience is disobedience. When you pick and choose what you will obey, you are not obeying at all. Stop fooling yourself. You are consciously choosing to disobey. You are playing with fire, literally. Choose your actions consciously, for you will pay for them very dearly. And he said, Jalla Jalaluhu, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And for the one who has taqwa, he grants a way out of all problems and provides for him in a manner beyond all expectation from sources that he could not even imagine. And for the one who places his trust in Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes sufficient for him. My brothers and sisters, in conclusion, I want to say that in the kind of world we live in today, to build a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is increasingly more important. Since you can only give what you have, your responsibility is twofold. You need to build the relationship for yourself as well as to create an environment at home where this concern is voiced and worked on. Remember, you can only give what you have. Only a lighted lamp can light other lamps and illuminate. So seek to build your connection with Allah. Remember that when you are lying on your back with your breath stuck in your throat, a time that will come upon every one of us, man or woman, it is only the connection with Allah which will help. All your money, your power, your friends and your family will be able to do nothing. They cannot help you a whit, even to breathe easily in that situation. They cannot make you live. They cannot even make you die easily. So leave them and obedience to them, and pleasing them by displeasing Allah, and cling to the obedience of Allah no matter who is displeased. Remember that the only one who is displeased with the obedience to Allah is Shaitan, who sometimes wears trousers and sometimes a skirt. Ignore him and recall the examples of the Anbiya who we follow. We do not follow the Shaitan. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I would like to remind you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, will not ask you which day you fasted for Yawmul Arafah. And Allah will not ask you which date you prayed Salatul Eid. But Allah will ask you what you did to break up this ummah. Allah will ask you what you did to sow the seeds of division in this ummah, about insisting on this day and that day. So beware of falling into the trap of self-righteousness and imagining that you have this direct line to Allah and that He is talking to you personally. Let us remember that to have a difference of opinion is not only permissible, but is a sign of concern that our scholars and a'imma have for the deen. But to use that difference of opinion as a way to attack others and pronounce judgments on them and to split the ummah into groups is the work of shaitan. Stay away from such people, admonish them, ignore them, and don't follow them. I would like to wish all of you a wonderful Eid al-Adha and request you in the middle of your enjoyment of eating food and meeting relatives and friends to spare a little time to remember and remind each other of the true spirit of sacrifice. To remember and remind each other of Muslims in other parts of the world who don't have the means or the safety to celebrate this Eid. I want to remind you that many such people who do not have the means to celebrate this Eid live right here amongst ourselves. So let us go and look for them and bring a smile to their faces and ensure that they have a good full meal today and that their children wear good clothes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with you and accept your worship. Kullu am bantum bi khair. Eid Mubarak to all of you. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين